Well, I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm honored that Pastor John and Miss Adrian would allow me to fill the pulpit. Man, I was just so encouraged by your worship. Where was that? Where was that harmony in the early service? Woo, you're tearing it up. Some great, the worship is awesome. So I have the privilege of also leading worship at the church that we pastor. So it's a challenge. And so sitting back and just listening to the drums and you guys do your thing, oh, it just blesses my heart. And then the really cool thing is this is all for free, but you guys just singing. I mean, I'm sitting there just listening to you sing and it just blesses my heart. So thank you so much. And so I've been a youth pastor for a long time. And so I'm animated, I'm loud, I talk fast. And then I say that too. I greet the people, good afternoon or good evening, good night. You know, so I'm confused too. So don't worry, we're all in good hands together. Amen. Now that I pointed out everybody's flaws, I'll preach. Again, I'm thankful to be here. You know, I was talking to mostly to Miss Adrian because John and I, for some reason, can never connect. We have to do it through text and all that stuff. But through a long voicemail he left me, I was hearing about the vision, so it got me excited about checking out, you know, Village Church online and seeing all the good stuff that's happening. But the moment that I had an opportunity to talk to Miss Adrian about preaching today, just this particular verse of scripture that I'm going to share with you was really prominent on my heart. And I really just felt like I needed to share this. And then I heard a lot about the focus for this next month, this kickoff thing here at Village. And it just really inspired me that this is what I need to share. And I feel like God laid this on my heart for this particular moment to share with you. So today I want to share with you the power of the invitation. Now, I'm not great with sermon titles. I thought that was pretty catchy for me because I'm not great with that. So if you have your Bibles, open to Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. It was in the year 2016 when the Golden One Center began hosting the Sacramento Kings. And it was just a few days before my birthday, I was invited to the season opener where the Sacramento Kings hosted the San Antonio Spurs. One of my clients was one of the main electricians. I know there was many people, but this particular guy, you know, he was one of the main guys, and so they gave him some tickets. He had two tickets to the Kings game, and he personally invited me to come. He wanted me to join him. One, because it was getting close to my birthday, and he knew how much I liked the Kings, and so he wanted me to come. Also, I had been and still am his faithful motorcycle mechanic. I've been doing that with his bike and taking care of it for years. And so he just wanted to celebrate with me. It was going to be a great night. Well, sadly, I had to decline. There was something on my schedule and I had to attend. But worse than that was the fact that that event fell through. I could have went. Later on, I found out that he took one of our mutual friends instead. I also heard how awesome that night was. You know, it was the inaugural night for the Kings. It was a special night for our city. The tradesmen and women who worked so hard on that building, I found out, were celebrated that evening. That was another reason why he wanted me to come. He wanted me to see some of his great accomplishments and what he did in that fantastic building. And there was a lot of good complimentary food. Anytime food is complimentary, it's good. I was really bummed out. I missed out on an awesome and incredible invitation. You know, invitations, they come in all different ways. Some are very informal. You know, your friends, they might say, hey, come join me for a meal. Come on over. Or let's go get a cup of coffee. I like those. I like it when my friends call me and consider me and say, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. I like that. I feel included. You know, some are those evites. You ever get an evite? I'm not good with computers. I have a saying in my house, if it doesn't run on gas, I can't fix it. So I have a cell phone. I know how to turn it on. Thank you and good night. See, there I go again, nighttime. You know, the evites are those kind that you get in your email where you can see who's going to go and not go, and then you can determine whether or not you're going to go. Yeah, no, none of us do that at this church, right? We're holier than that. Bless God. Some are super formal. You ever get the ones that arrive by mail? They're real fancy, they're real thick, and you know it's fancy. You know that you're gonna be cordially invited, right? Fancy writing, calligraphy, the writing you can't read. You've gotta try to figure out what time it is. Well, regardless of how the invitation comes, they say this one thing. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. One thing an invitation always says is that you are wanted. An invitation indicates that you're welcomed, that you're included. We've got something that's exciting happening, and we want you to be a part of it. An invitation includes them into something that's happening that's great, that's grand, that you should be a part of. And so today, I want to talk with you about the power of the invitation. So if you have your Bibles, look with me at Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. It says, devote yourself to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open a door for us for the word, to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Amen. There was a book I recently read, and it was entitled The Simplest Way to Change the World. Pastor Dustin Wilson and Pastor Brandon Clements wrote this book. There was something in there that struck me, and it said this: the simplest way to change the world is to leverage your ordinary life for his history-sweeping mission of hospitality. What does that really mean, though? Is it being a good neighbor? Maybe it's a gospel neighbor. You see, an important part of living an evangelistic life, a life that shares Jesus, is really opening your heart to others, opening your life up to others, letting people see what a Christian looks like, what a life transformed by Jesus really looks like. It's not perfect. Sometimes it's messy, but we're forgiven by God. We have a relationship with him that changes things. We have someone that's forgiven our sins, someone who's always with us. In our efforts to bring the gospel to the most distant, unreached corners of the globe, we must not overlook the opportunity and the responsibility that God has given us to make Christ known to the people who live around us, to our friends, to our neighbors, to those that we work with, to those that we pass by. Now, may I share some inroads with you? You may or may not already be doing these things, but this is something that I want to share with you about how we can be effective in sharing the gospel with our neighbors. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one is this: pray. Pray. You say, Pastor Tim, that's the simplest thing to do. Come on, let's get theologically deep here. Well, prayer should be the key for everything in our life. Prayer should be a priority. It should be the first thing that we do. Prayer should be the last thing we do. Before we do or go anywhere, we should pray. When making a decision, we should pray first. Spend more time in praying. And it should be continual and ongoing. 1 Thessalonians, you know, tells us to pray without ceasing. It's something that we should do continuously. And so prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. So when you think about inviting someone to church, when you're thinking about evangelism or sharing the gospel with somebody, pray. You know, we like to put these big words on it, evangelism. But it's just living your life, sharing Jesus. I can't help but talk about Jesus because he's my everything. I tell people often, you know, I found Jesus and he saved me from a life of sin and crime. I was 5 years old. My feet didn't even touch the ground in the little metal folding chair in children's church, and the Lord saved me. My Aunt Priscilla was talking about Jesus and how sin would separate me from God. And I thought, I don't want that. I was 5 years old. I don't want that. I don't want to be separated from God. I invited Jesus into my heart. Pray for their heart, their mind to be open. Pray that God would prepare you. Pray that God would prepare you with the right words. Pray for yourself to be ready when these invitations come. Pray that God gives you the opportunity. Pray that you remain encouraged and diligent, even if you come into an encounter with someone and they say no. Sometimes we get nervous. We're afraid what they might say. So I'd rather not face the rejection than talk about Jesus. I don't want to hear the negative comments. I don't want them to stereotype me in some way because I'm a Christian or I'm one of those that's shoving Jesus down their throat. So Pray that you're ready. Pray that you're willing to do this. Pray that God gives you a passion for this. Pray that you're ready when they say yes. You know, sometimes we're so in our mind that we think that when we talk about Jesus, right away they're gonna turn us down. They're not gonna want prayer. They're not gonna wanna hear about Jesus. And then we're shocked when they say yes. They say, yes, pray for me. Okay, where do I start? We need to ask God for a fresh burden for soul winning, for inviting people to church. And we need to pray for his compassion. Jesus definitely modeled compassion towards people, and we should have that same heart. Ask God to pour out the Holy Spirit, to inspire words from your heart that are from Scripture, and grant you the confidence to proclaim the good news. You know, we study Scripture. Many of us grew up in Sunday school. You know, we have all these, as the Bible says, hide his word in your heart. So you have it in here and pray that you're ready. When the opportunity comes, it just comes out naturally. You start talking. Have you ever been in that situation where you know it's anointed by God? You start talking to somebody and next thing you know, you're like preaching and you don't mean to, you're just excited. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire in your bones. And it should be that way, especially when you've experienced God firsthand, when you've had that opportunity to receive Jesus and he's touched your heart in a mighty way. So pray that God uses your words to bring healing. Pray that he uses your words to bring encouragement, even prophetic words that might lift up one who's discouraged, hurt, or lost. I'm grateful for an accident that I experienced in 2017 where I was hit by a car and I broke my femur and had some head trauma. And it took me several months to get back on my feet, but I went through a time of depression, of discouragement. I couldn't walk, I couldn't work, I couldn't do much. And I went through it. Had you told me before about discouragement or depression, I would have snuffed it off, laughed it off. Just, you need to suck it up. You need to pray a little harder or whatever. I'm grateful for that experience because it gave me sympathy and empathy to understand that depression is real and what Jesus can do. And sometimes we have that testimony, we have that story we can share. And it becomes so real. And so make prayer part of your everyday evangelism so you can invite. Use your testimony. Number two is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Be ready. Prayer is the best preparation you can do for evangelism. Prayer is the greatest thing you can do to prepare yourself to invite someone to church, right? However, being in the Word is just as important, that you spend time in God's Word. Sometimes we think that we have to have this prepared script ahead of time. You know, because I work on motorcycles, I come in contact with people that don't know Jesus. And sometimes they're shocked when they find out that their bike mechanic is also a pastor. It scares them sometimes. But you know, in my early days, I would have a sermon in my back pocket. Man, I was ready. When they say this, I'm going to say that. And I'm going to steer them. I got stories to tell. I like to read stories about history and how they relate to Christ. So I'll have these great stories to share. I'm ready. And then the opportunity never comes. And I'm like, I missed this opportunity. I had this great story to tell. And I'm trying to have this script. You ever done sales? Anybody did phone sales before? Right? You're on the phone and you're trying to sell something, right? I was the worst sales telemarketer or whatever on the planet, right? They would give me this little script and I'm on the phone and I'm calling somebody. Hello, is this Mr. Maynard? Yes, it is. Hello, this is Tim. Tim, yeah, I'm Tim. I was terrible at it. They fired me twice. I was bad at it. I felt like I had to have this. And sometimes it's the same thing with sharing Jesus. We feel like we have to have a script, word for word. What am I gonna say? When they say this, I'm gonna say this. But you know, the best script of all, first, is the Word of God. That's the best script. Just have God in your heart. Just spend time in the Word. Be ready when somebody asks you a question. And then the next greatest thing is your life. It's your life. Just live it. Live for Jesus and let it show. And then your testimony, because nobody can argue your testimony, what Jesus has done for you. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about evangelism at our church as well. And we're talking about sharing Jesus and my dad. My dad is 83. He just celebrated his 83rd birthday, right? Here's this old booger, right? We get done with church. And you know what he says? We always open the back doors. Our building that we rent is kind of small, but we swing open the back doors at the end of service. And my pop, he says, now open the doors and let's go save the world. He was so excited. Here's my dad, 83 years old. He could say, ah, oh, that's somebody else's job. That's for the young man. That's the next generation's problem. I'm old. I'm just going to sit in my chair and watch it pass me by. No, he wanted to get involved. He's still excited. He's got 83 years of seeing God do miracles. He's got 83 years of experience of life of Jesus. He was excited. And he said, I know that's not theologically correct because we're not going to save the world, but we've got a message to share. We've got something to share, and nobody can argue with your testimony. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. So you see, we should set our hearts in a place where Christ is fully honored as Lord. Focus intently on Christ's role as master, as Lord of your life. And live it as if it were absolutely true. Live your life that you believe Christ is truly Lord of your life. And if we set Christ as Lord of our life, things will change. You can't stay the same when Jesus is now master, when Jesus is now Lord. You can't live the same way. Things begin to change. Peter says, those who observe your life, they're going to take notice. They're going to see that there's something different. They're going to see the hope that's in you because there is a difference when you live a life with hope. And in the midst of this life, many times there are struggles and hardships and difficulties. You know, Jesus even said, not if trials come, but when trials come. Apparently, we're going to go through things. But even in the midst of it, we can still have hope. And so when we do, when we go through things and people observe our life and see how we live, be ready to answer the question that our life should inspire. How can you be so hopeful in such difficult circumstances? With all the things that are going on in this world, how can you be so hopeful? Well, Peter anticipates that people will become curious when they see your life. Is your life a reflection of Jesus? Hopefulness and joy. It's so different from the normal human response. Because when things go bad, what do people do? Fall in depression, get upset. Sometimes they turn back to their old ways, old habits. But our life should be so different that they should want to see something different that they do see, and then they begin to ask us. And what will they say? What will they ask about us? And we need to be ready to give an answer to tell about our faith in Christ. Now, sometimes we need to have this thing called relational capital. You know, it's time that you spend with somebody. You know, sometimes there's things I can say to people in my church that I've spent a lot of time with. I know them. They know me. They know where I'm coming from. They allow me to speak into their life. But then there's other people that don't know me at all. We've never met. I don't have the right to say certain things. Maybe I do, but how are they going to perceive it? How are they going to take it? They don't know me. They don't know that I have their best interest at heart. They don't know that. And so sometimes when it comes to sharing Jesus, relational capital is important. How much time I have spent with them. I can invite Jesus to them or invite them to church. I can share Jesus with them and they'll hear what I'm saying. I can talk to them about deep things of Christ because I have this relationship with them. They know my heart. But sometimes you don't have to wait for those opportunities. You don't have to wait for long periods of time. I know stories of people that have come to church with a simple invite. I know people that have found Jesus because of a simple conversation. They didn't even know the person. You know, I'm probably the one that keeps the lights on at the nearest Walmart by my house. I'm there almost every day. And when I go in there, I try to avoid the self-checkout thing. One is because I like people. I enjoy talking to people. And so I try to find a particular aisle. If I can't get in the lane where there's somebody that I see on a regular basis, I pray, I look, I try to find somebody. As I'm going to use that as an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And so if I can find the same person, that's good. I'll get in that line and we'll drum up a conversation and we begin to talk. And they begin to see something different in us. It happens over and over. There's ladies at Walmart that now we know them by grandma. and we have a relationship with them. I have this relational capital, and I can share with them, and I've invited them to church, and sometimes, you know, she's is in a bad mood, and she doesn't want to hear it, and I know that, and I know what to say, and I know how to talk to her. I've built this relationship. She lets me speak into her life, but sometimes I don't know the person there, and, all, you know, there might be a lady. Like one time, there was this younger lady working the register, and she was Filipina. And because we were missionaries to the Philippines, I was able to use my terrible, terrible Tagalog and talk to her and use some, and it opened a conversation, and I was able to talk to her about Jesus. It was a one and done kind of thing, but I still wanted to take the opportunity. And so I know there are people that have come to church just simply because they've been invited. Just a simple, you don't even know them. But while we don't really have to have certain capital relationship, maybe it's important, but just be ready. Ready with what to say, how to say it. Be prepared. So be ready to have an ongoing relationship. And here's the other thing. Whether or not they say yes or no, be ready to have a personal relationship with this person. Sometimes, you know, we invite people to church. Our goal is we want to fill the pews. So sometimes I struggle as a pastor with these, like one time we were at this church as youth pastors, and they were trying to get over a certain numerical hump. You've seen these? And on the door, it would say, push for 500, pull for 500. And it was one of those things, you know, just this campaign we were trying to, and I felt like, are we trying to grow the church or are we trying to win souls? Because nobody wants to be a target. Nobody wants to be a mission. Nobody wants to be a project. How about you see me as Tim who's hurting? How about you see me as Tim who needs Jesus? How about let's prepare ourselves to be ready to care for our neighbors? Not just inviting them to church, but to have a personal relationship with Jesus, that we can be a blessing to our neighbor, not as a project, not because the pastor's doing this promotion thing, but because we love Jesus and we want to share Jesus with the lost and hurting world. As our text says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says to act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Some translations say making the most of every opportunity. Either way, be ready. Number three, if you're taking notes, write this down. Carefully choose your words. Carefully choose your words. For instance, you might be saying to somebody, hey, I've been enjoying our church a lot recently. You know, I wanted to give you the opportunity to come to be a part of what we're doing. Are you interested in coming with me on Sunday? Or you might say, hey, we're talking a lot about hope at our church. It's been very encouraging. I thought you'd like to hear more about hope, especially if you see them going through something. And we specifically do certain things, certain activities, certain series we'll preach, just so we can invite the lost, opportunities for people to invite their friends and those that don't know Jesus. I mean, we'll invite anybody, friends, enemies, anybody. And maybe for us, we have life groups. And sometimes people, they're a little intimidated to come to church and they don't know what to expect. Are they going to have to stand, sit, kneel, sing? What's it going to be like? You know, and so we have these life groups throughout the city. And we'll say, hey, why don't you join us on Wednesday? One of our groups meets at Round Table Pizza on Wednesday nights. Another group meets at Starbucks. We have a group that meets at McDonald's. Not that we all like food or anything, but we like food. And so we have these groups. And they're not intimidating. Show up. It's just a bunch of friends hanging out, talking, chit-chat. And you know what? We'll see ministry take place. I mean, there was a lady that had a car for sale. And another young lady needed a car. And they worked a deal. So this lady who had this car, she sold it for dirt cheap to this young lady that needed a car. Ministry was happening right there in the middle of life group. People loving each other, caring for each other, acting as the early church, doing what we're supposed to do. Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4 says, at the same time, pray. Also for us, that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mysteries of Christ, as Paul says, for which I'm in chains. He's in chains over this, right? So that I may make it known as I should. Are you sharing the gospel like you found it? You know, it's sometimes sharing the gospel is like sharing something that you found fascinating. Maybe it's a new grocery store, a new gym, a restaurant. You know, you're excited about this restaurant and you just want people to know about it. You want to share, hey, check this out. This is a great place to eat. We're sharing this thing. Consider it in the same way with Jesus. Obviously, it's much more important. It's far more important than a gym or a restaurant or a grocery store. However, it's the same type of thing. We want to share what we found. It's good news. It's something great. But here's the thing. We don't want to make people feel as we're the righteous and they're the unrighteous, right? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Yet do this with gentleness and reverence, keeping a clear conscience." So whatever words that you choose, whatever phrases that you pick, be gentle, genuine, and respectful. You know, sometimes I hear people share the gospel and man, they're intense. And there's some people that are just like that. I mean, they're truly being genuine. My mom is a great example. Man, my mom is like 4'11", and she'll get right in your face and tell you about Jesus. But she does it with a loving heart, and she's a little old lady, so she can get away with it, right? And so she says these things, not the way I would do it, but, you know, and people love her. And I'm like, Mom, that's so intense. How come you talk to... And next thing I know, they're hugging on her, and she's praying with them. And the greatest thing about it is she's sharing the love of Jesus and she loves on them. She really loves them. She's saying it because she cares. I don't know how, in my opinion, you know, whatever it's worth, is it really respectful? But she's being genuine. She truly loves them. I've heard it said it like this. We're just one beggar who has found bread, showing another beggar where bread can be found. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person." Number 4, if you're taking notes, write this down. Watch for opportunities. Watch for opportunities. See, when you pray that God will give you an opportunity, don't be surprised when he does. Look out for them. So, when you're praying for opportunities, also pray that you're ready because those opportunities will come. If you ask for it, he'll give them to you. For instance, somebody might say to you, "Hey, I'm feeling a little discouraged." And you could say, "Hey, I'm sorry." Perhaps you felt that way too at one point. And you can share your story like I have. I understand what it is to go through discouragement. And I'm able to follow up with something about how I found hope in the scripture. I found hope with my church. I wouldn't have made it through that time of discouragement if it wasn't for the fact that my church supported me and encouraged me and helped me during these hard times. I've found church very refreshing recently. Would you like to come with me? Come to my life group where we can do life together. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ." See, overall, the model is pray for opportunities, take the opportunities. Pray for your preaching opportunities. Pray for your opportunity to share God's word clearly, powerfully. Be wise in what you say and in how you say it. Let me rephrase the Nike saying, just say it. Just invite. Number 5, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number 5 is this: invite them to something. Invite them to something. Don't just invite somebody to church and leave it there. Don't just invite somebody to church and then not show up yourself. So this is the plug for perfect church attendance. Make sure that when you invite somebody, you're there too. Show up. Be friendly. Sometimes we say, "Hey, I'm going to church Sunday. Why don't you come with me?" And afterwards, here we go again. We'll go out to eat. I love to eat. Find something you do well and stick with it. I have. Join me. We're going to eat. You know, it's a great way that to show that you're interested in them. They're not a project. They're not a number. They're not fulfilling some quota that the pastor has to push for 500 or to pull for 500. They matter. Invite them to one of your special events. Our churches, Pastor John does the same thing. He specifically has special events designed so you can invite your friends so they can see us as real people. We're people that have found a Savior named Jesus. And we want to share this good news with you. Come to church. Come find out. Invite them. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says to make the most of the time or of every opportunity. We have several special events planned this year, next year. We've done things like we're preparing now in October. We'll start preparing for 2026, believe it or not. And so we're going to sit down and map out the schedule. There were several events that we did last year that were quite successful in getting unbelievers and new people to come find Jesus. Because we're not just about growing a church. We're about having people find Jesus. We would do things like Super Sunday, Super Bowl events. We did Sunday Fun Day, where we did church in the park. For us, our church, we rent a building every Sunday. And so we're like mobile church. We have to set up and tear down. Whew, that's tough. And we got a great team of people that make it happen. And so every holiday weekend, we don't have access to our building. So we have to be creative. We have to find things like, we did something called Nacho Average Weekend, where we did church and nachos in the park. It's kind of a fun way to not have a building and do church outside. We would do things like something simple, where we even did a Valentine's dinner. We did a series on hope. We did a month-long series on hope. It was targeting mental health and our faith in God. And so it was a great opportunity for people to invite their friends. You have one coming up next week, so take the opportunity. This is a great event to invite someone that doesn't know Jesus to church. Number six, if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't be discouraged if they say no. Don't be discouraged by a no. You know, people are not always going to respond with you and your excitement about Christ with a yes. You know, you invite them to church, they're not always going to say, yeah, I want to go with you. They're not going to always say, yeah, please, right here in the middle of Target, please pray for me. They're not going to always be excited about it, but there are some that will respond with a yes. And when they do, sometimes, you know, you say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're thinking, like most of us do, I'll pray for you on Thursday at Bible study. You know, how about do it right then? They're shocked sometimes when you do. Hey, they said yes, take advantage of it. But sometimes people may say no first, but later they'll say yes. It's worth persevering with inviting people to church. You know, there are certain times in people's lives when things change. Oh, they're saying, no, I don't want to be part of it. No, I don't want to get involved in church. I don't want to be here. I don't want to hear about that. But then there are these moments in time. They say when a baby's born, when there's the passing of a family member, when there's a change of job, a new job starts, getting fired, these different events in life. It opens us up to the things of God. It's a perfect opportunity for you to be there, to pray with them, to encourage them, and to talk about Christ in these opportunities. So you may find that someone says no, but eventually they follow up with a yes. So I would say when they say no, respect that. Respect their wishes in that regard, but know that they may change their mind in the future. I would say this, don't ever take a no as a never. Never take a no as a never. Down the road, there may be a change of heart, a change of situation. And always conclude it with, I'd love it if you join me sometime. You can tell them about a future event and you're like, hey, if it's cool, I'm gonna circle around in March or I'm gonna talk to you in February. We got a Super Bowl event. Maybe we can go check it out. I hope you'll consider this with me. Why not check it out then? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself so that you won't grow weary and give up. You see, we should take that same approach that Jesus did when we're faced with a no. Now, not just with a no, but when we're faced with persecution or when we're faced with hard times, we should think about what Jesus went through. Jesus endured hardships at the hands of his friends and his enemies. Those that were supposed to be religious leaders even treated him poorly. You know, it makes me think about when I was in high school, the worst persecution that I faced was being laughed at or made fun of because I went to church. But nowadays, persecution, as this Bible talks about, is so much greater. People are losing their lives because of their faith. And I'm grateful that I didn't have to experience that or even didn't even understand that that could. We read about it, we heard about it, but that would never happen in America. That would never happen to us in the church today. But realize that Jesus endured terrible hardship. And even though he was God incarnate, he still faced hostility, struggles. He still faced trials and temptations. But know this, trials in life is not evidence that God has abandoned you. The scripture says that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always with you. That means that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. That same power, can you believe that? That power is inside. Jesus lives with you. And I thought of it this way. When he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, it's like Jesus says, I'm like your skin. You don't get out of your skin. It's always there. Jesus is with you like your skin. It's on you. He's not going to leave you. Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life, and yet he still faced trials and rejection. And so when we face those challenges in our life, we should look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? How did he handle it? He persevered. Remember this, when you're sharing the gospel with people, that you're part of this great big plan. You might be the one that's planting the seed. You might be the first person to ever talk to them, really have a conversation with them about Jesus. Oh, they probably saw some wacko on YouTube telling about Jesus, screaming in a mic, asking for money, and they had this bad taste in their mouth. Then they see you, the real deal, and you might be planting a seed. Some of you might water the seed. So you never know where you're at in the process. That's why sometimes you might get a no, but don't be discouraged. And lastly, number 7 is this, use a reminder. Whether you send a text, a Facebook invite, an Instagram DM, a call, a flyer, a text, a mail, a flyer, put it in the mail. Does anybody use snail mail anymore? But give a reminder to somebody. It can help them solidify this invitation. Why? Because it's just that important. You're inviting them to something that's special. This is a great event. I mean, it's because of church that I found Jesus. I know as a little boy, I probably didn't have a choice. At 5 years old, I didn't probably have the right to back talk my mom or dad, but I still, at church, I found Jesus. It's just that important. When you invite somebody and you give them the reminder, this reminder can tell them where the church is, what time to arrive. It gives them a sense of what they're coming to, what they can expect. And it shows them that they're really wanted. They're wanted enough that you're reminding them. You really want them there. It also allows them to think about this invitation when you're no longer there because they have some kind of reminder, whether it's a text that they see or a voicemail. There's some kind of a visual or invitation that's beyond just that initial conversation. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says it like this. Peter's writing, he says, I think it's right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder. You see, Peter was writing that his mission is to remind us of what we need to do. Peter says, it's just that important that I remind you what you're called to do, what you're supposed to do. Living for Jesus is just this important. So because it's so important, I'm going to remind you. He seeks to motivate us to act, to do. Repeated reminders of the truth not only keep us on track, but it helps us to realize that it's just that important. And so we remind others because we want them to realize just how important it is, just how important they are, that they're important enough that we would invite them to an event that we're doing. Peter's goal is to keep reminding us as long as he lives, because we're not here for long. His purpose was not to criticize, but to encourage, to invite them, to remind them, because it's just that important. A few years ago, Sarah and I pastored in a small town outside of Oklahoma City. I'll never forget this young man named Andrew. Andrew, he came to the U.S. to work in the TDK factory that was just north of the town that he came to live in. He came from Beijing, China, and he didn't plan to be here very long. You see, Andrew was a single young man. He lived in a small little apartment, and every afternoon he would come and play basketball at the court right down the street from me. There were times when I would get home and I would see him out there, or I might hear him bouncing the ball and shooting it, and it would hit the old chains, and you'd hear the sound. Eventually, I went over there, made friends with him. We'd hung out. We played some ball together. We met up for meals, went to coffee. Eventually, due to my simple invite, he joined the church. Now, you know, this young man, he had every excuse not to be a good neighbor. He had every excuse to distance himself. He comes to this small town in the Midwest. He's an outsider. I was even treated like an outsider because I was from California. He didn't know the Midwest culture. He had an accent. He looked a little. They didn't see people like that in this particular town. And he wasn't planning on being there very long. And yet, he was one of the most hospitable men I'd ever met. He regularly welcomed coworkers, next-door neighbors, and friends like me into his home. One day, we were on the court shooting some hoop, and we're hanging out, and his time with TDK was complete. And he was getting ready to head back home. And so we decided that on his last Sunday, we would prepare like a little get-together. We would do a departure for him. And so we decided to do a little party that we called a go-away party. And of course, there was food. And everybody would hang out. We got in the gym and we had the table set up and some cake. And people would say their little tributes. And it was a wonderful afternoon. And then as things were wrapping up, I had to grab the mic. I just had this question I had to ask. And so I look at the crowd and I said, hey, those of you that have started attending the church within the last year, how many of you are here because of an invite or a connection with Andrew? And of those that started the church within the last year, nearly every hand went up. In a simple way, Andrew made a huge impact. He made a huge impact in those lives of the hands that went up. I mean, not only did he invite them to church, but he invited them to come and meet the Savior simply by opening up his home, by sharing his life. He helped so many see the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ. His invitation emphasized one important thing. They are wanted. With your heads bowed, Father God, I thank you for the privilege that it is to stand before you. God, you're a great God. You've showed me over and over your hope, your great mercy. God, that you forgave me of my sin. I have so much to be thankful for, and I have so much to share. Like my friends that are here today, we all have a testimony of your great goodness and your mighty power. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be as bold and open as Andrew, that we would share our faith, that God, we would, because of the time spent with you, our life is prepared. Because of the time that we spend in Scripture, it's in our hearts and we're ready. God, I pray that you would make it like a fire in our bones, that we wouldn't keep quiet. We'd want to share with others about the goodness of God. You've been so good to us, we don't want to keep silent. Please help us. Give us strength, wisdom. Help us be ready. Give us the words to say. No excuses, God. You and nothing else. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.